Bibles, go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I don't usually bring so much junk to show and tell, but I have found that through the years, especially the kids, I've had kids that came up and asked me, do you remember that time you preached on this? And sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. And then the thing that they then will say is they usually remember something that I either told a story or that I had something up here like this, so I thought it might be a help. But it also goes with what I want to preach tonight. I want to preach on this subject, to teach or to be taught. To teach or to be taught. Now notice in Deuteronomy chapter 6, notice verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6, notice verse 7. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Now what he said is, I want you to teach these things to your kids. Notice then in your Bibles, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, he gives us a similar thought. Deuteronomy chapter 11, notice verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 11, notice verse 19. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And he goes on and says about the same thing that we just read. Look in your Bibles in the New Testament to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, I said to teach or to be taught. Luke chapter 11, notice verse 1. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now apparently John had taught some of his disciples, and so his disciples knew how to pray. And Jesus' disciples had seen how John's disciples prayed, and they said, man, Jesus, can you teach us to pray like that? And again, there are many, many things in our lives. I've often said this, and I've said this many times through the years, I am a combination of several different people. I mean, the Chris Block is not, I mean, again, now there are people who say, you're looking at a self-made man. I don't know very many people that are self-made. The truth is, none of us would be here if it wasn't for mom and dad. So none of us are truly self-made because none of us can make ourselves. I mean, now there are people that did a lot of things in their lives by themselves. That is true. And there are people that have not had the luxury of having a godly mom or dad or having parents that care. There are kids that don't have that. I feel for them. And by the way, they envy some of our church kids, and sometimes our church kids envy their parents. It always has amazed me that bus kids wish that they had our parents, I mean the parents here is mom and dad, and some of our church kids wish that they had the parents like the bus kids did, because they really have never had that kind of parent, and they don't realize a parent that actually doesn't care may let you get by with stuff. But you know why they let you get by with stuff? Because they really don't care. And again, when you're out there and you get in trouble, you're on your own. Where mom and dad that raises up in church are completely different creatures entirely. But again, to teach or to be taught. Now, there's been many things through the years that because someone taught me, I was able to teach someone else. And that is, by the way, a really good thing to do. I've often said one of my goals in life is the things that God has blessed me with and taught me that I can teach that to other people. If we don't do that, and by the way, that's why it is hard to find things that are made by hand today. I mean, for instance, there are very few ladies in probably the Liberty Baptist Church that know how to crochet, but your mamas did. There are probably very, very few ladies here that have made a quilt. I mean, made a complete quilt, but your mamas all did. Truth is, there are ladies in the church that we have a good church in this respect, that most of our gals can cook and cook well, but there are a lot of churches that adult ladies can't cook. I mean, they can't cook a lick. If it doesn't have the directions on the side and the microwave doesn't have a button that says popcorn and baked potato, they would have no idea, what to do. But thank goodness that's not true of Liberty Baptist Church. But there are a lot of things that this generation, by the way, the next generation will know less, and the next generation will know less, and soon we'll get to a place. By the way, and we have that a lot today. For those young people the other day that all thought they'd parade someplace, that they really had any... My dad used to say this, kids are to be seen, and what was the next phrase?
Not heard.
Not heard. You know how much my dad valued my opinion? About that much. That's how much, I mean... sometimes I'd say something like, well, I thought, and my dad would say, I ain't paying you for thinking. I'm paying you for working. And by the way, he didn't pay me for working either. Well, he did. He did when he made it very clear the time I was going to charge him. I wanted to charge him for all the work. He said, that's no problem. I'll charge you for rent. I'll charge you for food. Mama's going to charge you for washing and folding your clothes. When I figured it up, I was going to go in debt every week. I was not going to make any money. I was going to lose money. So I decided I just keep working for free. Because I really wasn't working for free. I was working for room and board and all the other stuff that went with that. But the truth is, there are those young people, you know what they thought? They really thought. Because someone has told them that right now at their age, what they think really matters. And listen to me, most of them don't, they have no idea. All they are a bunch of little parrots. By the way, there's nothing wrong with that. Till they actually get a brain of their own, they do have to borrow other people's brains. The problem is the brain they're borrowing is someone else who doesn't have a brain. So they are parroting stuff that's not true. The truth is, again, if you listen to those things that they were talking about, not letting anyone below, I think it was 19 or 21, buy a weapon. And if you listen to the stats, if you actually listen to the stats, it was like 90% of the folks who have done all that, that law would change nothing because all of them were above that age. And there was a whole bunch of other rules. All the ones that they supposedly incorporate these new rules. It's kind of like the TSA or whatever it is that group is at the airport. They're supposed to make you feel safe. Most of you know this. Brother Gallardo got to Japan with a gun, with clips in his carry-on, gun with clips. Went through two or three United States airports. Not one of them caught that. So if you were feeling safe, when you go through that little thing and they frisk you and do all that stuff to you, especially you ladies. By the way, when you wear a dress, for some reason, that just makes it, they just think, I think they enjoy giving you a hard time. Because, they'll do everything they can to frisk you and all kinds of stuff. But the truth is, when you feel safe going through the airport, it really means nothing because most of those knuckleheads aren't paying a bit of attention. Now, the other day, I didn't realize I had it in there. I had been doing some stuff for someone else, and I was carrying, and so I carried my briefcase on there, and she said, sir, you need to step over here. And I'm thinking, oh, my. And then she said, can you reach in there and pull that bullet out? And I said, it's probably not a bullet. It's just a battery. And she said, no, it's a bullet. And I recently went, okay, it's a bullet. So they actually did catch one of mine. They didn't catch Brother Glardo's, and he has a whole gun in the clip, and they catch my bullet. But that's what I get for sticking people's stuff in my bag because it was someone else's stuff that I was carrying, and I didn't pull it out. But understand, the kids, their opinions, you know what they need to be doing? They need to go to school and listen and learn. And they need some teachers that have enough brains to teach them something. And by the way, teach them something that's really true. Teach them something that really matters in life. But again, I stood around and listened to my parents talk. I stood around and listened to adults talk so I could learn, but I did not carry on the conversation. I'm amazed at some of our teenagers. Sometimes we'll have men stand around talking, and one of our teenagers will walk up, and then after we talk for a little bit, they'll throw an opinion. I'm thinking, if you were my kid, Daddy would have just turned around, he would have gave you that look. Or he'd have gave me the hand. And the hand wasn't speak to the hand. The hand was the hand upside the head. I either got the look, and if I was smart, I paid attention to the look. But what he meant was, shut up. And by the way, he did not want me talking. He wanted me listening. And by the way, if I listened, I'd get smart enough. One of these days, I'd have something to be able to talk about. But to teach or to be taught. I want to look at several things in that. Now, I'm going to just go down front for a minute and just give you kind of a rundown of why I put this stuff out here. Now, there are many, many things that I don't remember who taught me this stuff because my memory stinks and it's been a long time ago. But the truth is, there are many, many things here that my dad taught me. My dad taught me a lot of stuff. And some of the stuff he taught me, he didn't really teach me. He just did it and I watched him. I learned by watching him. I try to tell folks why we're doing stuff sometimes. I'll do something and I'll say, you do it like this, and I'll try to give instructions because I realize if my dad would have did that, I would have learned a little bit more. Yeah. For instance, I've often said, and I spent hundreds of dollars putting a fence up around my property, and some of it I put up incorrectly. Yeah. And the reason was I'd put up a lot of fence as a kid, but I never paid attention to the details. And the detail is when you go around a corner post, the reason you put those corner posts the way you do and put the braces the way you do is if you don't, all your fence ends up, in time, that barbed wire fence ends up pulling that. So you can go to some of my property now, and with some of the corner posts, they're leaning in like this. I had a great idea one day. There was this tree, and usually trees last forever. So I used the fence. The tree was about that big around, so I used that tree as my corner post. Nothing's going to move that tree. The problem was the water district let the water, the canal kept leaking in that spot. If you know anything about water, water kills trees when they're underwater very long. And it killed that tree, so now that tree is a dead stump. And the other day I drove by it, and that dead stump is now pulled up out of the ground, and it's leaning like that. So I have hundreds of yards of fence that way and 100 yards of fence that way. I mean, and it's all got a lot of slack in it now because the tree that I thought was going to be there, you know, till my grandkids had grandkids, I mean, that tree is now dead, and it's just a stump. But understand, I didn't realize when my dad would do these things why he did what he did. I didn't understand why he put the barbed wire on one side of the fence. I didn't understand why he did certain things, why he put a wooden post every so many feet, and why there was a reason for that. But as I did my own fence, I realized some of it, by the way, because I did it incorrectly. By the way, sometimes to go fix a mistake like that, I'd have to tear my whole fence down. I mean, I'd have to tear hundreds of, I mean, I'd have to do hours and hours of work. So what do you do? I have repair I would not have if I'd done it right the first time. So I would just have to keep fixing it instead of because I didn't do it right the first time. But again, I don't know some of these things. The other day I was thinking when I had a fishing rod and I said, put that in the car, and the kids came back to me and they said, I can't put it in the car, it's too long. And I said, and they went, oh. Some of you just learned a lesson that you didn't even realize the fishing rods came apart. By the way, that's not very big. You can put that in a pretty small spot. So sometimes when you talk about taking your fishing rods with you, you don't have to stick them all in there. I mean, long ways. Now, there are a few of them that don't come apart. Some of the old ones don't come apart, but most of them come apart. The other day, we had someone fishing, and I told they broke their line. I said, need to put a hook on there. And they put a hook on there. The problem was they didn't know how to put a hook on there correctly. So the next time they caught a fish, they end up with the fish, took the hook and the bait, and they end up with a line with no hook on it again. And now I have a fish roaming around my property with jewelry. I mean, apparently, I mean, now he lack on the other side because he has a piece of metal hanging out one side. So all the other fish envy him because he has a hook out one side. It's kind of like an earring, but it's in his mouth. So the truth is, I realized one day when someone said, Brother Block, I have to call the locksmith because he's got to come out and change my knobs. And I thought, really? You're going to call the locksmith to have him come out and change your knobs? And they said, yeah, because, I mean, we got to change the knobs. And I thought, you realize you can go down to Home Depot and get lock set probably for $25 and a screwdriver, and you can put, I mean, that's all it takes is a screwdriver and you can put it in, a Phillips head screwdriver. Now, if you don't have a deadbolt and you have to drill the hole for the deadbolt, that gets a little bit more complicated. That's when I call Brother Perry or the other Brother Perry or Roy, and they fix that because I don't have the drill that has the big bit in it. And you say, well, Locke, could you learn how to do that? Yeah, but I don't really want to. It's kind of like tying ties. How many of you knew Brother Block did not know how to tie ties? How many of you thought Brother Block knew how to tie ties? I don't know how to tie ties. Never have learned how to tie ties. You say, why not? Because I'm lazy and I have lots of other things to do. Tying ties are not that important. So when I get a tie dry cleaned, I take it to David and I say, David, can you tie my tie? And I throw them to David, and he's kind, and he always ties them. And of course, Sam says, I can tie them better, so I give Sam one too. And then, you know, they compete against each other, so you can tie the prettiest knot. And then when I get through, I just take it up, slip it over my head, hang it on my tie rack, and I wear it for a couple months till it gets dirty. Then I take it dry clean, then I throw it back to David and Sam again, and they tie my tie again. It's a system that works. So, by the way, Dad used to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So it's a good system, so I don't worry about it. You say, Brother Block, could you learn how to tie a tie? Sure I could. I could also learn Spanish. That also is something I don't know. I really would like to learn Spanish for two reasons. One, I'd like to learn Spanish so I can soul win in Spanish. Two, I'd like to know what the people are talking about when they're making comments about me and I can't understand. When we do something, then they look at each other and go, I'd just like to be able to hear it and be able to answer back like, I understand what that means. And they go, ooh. So it's kind of a selfish reason. One, so I can win people to the Lord. The other, just so I can know what they're saying to me. But again, most of these things my dad taught me. I know how to plant a garden. Garden comes in really handy. I know what this is. A lot of folks don't even know what this is. They've never had one before. It's called a cock gun. By the way, it comes in really handy. It saves you all kinds of electricity and heat. It helps you with a lot of stuff. And by the way, it's something you should do when you put a tub in or put a window in or when you right before you get ready to paint. And by the way, caulk can save you lots of money. And caulk costs, a buck or two per tube probably? Depends whether you get the good stuff. You can get the cheap stuff for a dollar, but the good stuff. I learned to weld. Now, I learned to weld in Bible college. I went to school to learn to weld. I went to a Bible college to learn to preach. And while I was there, I was working at a place where they welded. And the guy said, if you learn to weld, you can make more money. By the way, making $5 an hour, and back then $5 an hour is more than $5 an hour now, but it still wasn't very much money. If I learned to weld, they'd give me a raise. I think it was a $2 raise, so $2 was a lot of money back then. So at break time and lunch time, I learned to weld. I had a guy show me how to do it, so I learned to weld. came in really handy. I moved out to my property. There was a bunch of sucker rod and pipe on my property from the oil from back in the 50s. I welded up a crowl. I made some panels because I knew how to weld. But again, something that someone, I mean, a lost guy taught me. My dad taught me how to use a chainsaw. So, I mean, I can cut wood. And again, if I had to make some money, I could cut mesquite, or I've got oak down by the creek. I could cut wood and sell wood. Now, some of you don't understand this. When you buy wood, you don't want to burn mesquite in your fireplace, especially a lot of mesquite. Because what you do if you burn a lot of mesquite in your fireplace, mesquite burns very, very hot, and it will warp your fireplace. You'll have a fireplace, all your rock and stuff will shift out of place, and you'll tear your fireplace up because it burns really, really hot. Also, when you buy wood, you want to have, they'll talk about seasoned wood, and you're wondering, what does that mean? Is that some, you know, seasoned wood means wood they cut last year and left lay for a year because now it's dry, and dry wood burns a lot. Now, by the way, it burns a lot better and a lot quicker, but you also want some green wood because it burns slower because as that fire is burning, it has to get the moisture out of that green wood, and so that green wood lasts a while longer. If you just put all dry wood in there, a few minutes later, you're going to have to throw more. Now, the kids like that because they love throwing sticks on the fire, but it gets pretty expensive if you have to put a bunch of wood on the fire to keep it going. But they have, again, my dad taught me that. Listen to me. This, besides being a good knock-in-the-head stick, this is what we use when you end up with something that breaks. Instead of throwing it away, you can put a new handle on it. Yeah, now, some of you, I mean, the problem with putting a handle on stuff is the other thing I had to learn was some of these things have a bolt through here and they have wood in here. So when you break the handle off, it's usually in here. Now this one's all rusty because it's laying outside. Say, well, how do you get the wood out of there? Well, now you guys live in the city, can't do this. You get in trouble, you go to jail. But us folks in the country, we can just stick this in the burn barrel when we're burning trash, and it'll burn the wood out of there. So then you can take the new handle, and you just take that new handle, and you just stick it in there and you stick a new drill, new bolt through there, and you got a new shovel. You only had to buy the handle instead of the shovel. But again, there's all kinds of things that my daddy taught me. I don't even remember who taught me, but this was one of the pleasures when they taught me how to make sausage. Because since they taught me how to make, now Brother Reed bought the grinder, and we've used this for years, but the truth is we've made lots of sausage. Amen. Some of you ate the sausage that came from this grinder. Amen. And these spices. Now again, I don't remember who taught me. Someone asked me a while back, who taught you how to do that? I don't remember who taught me. Now, I know I didn't know it. It wasn't like I was born with the knowledge of how to make sausage. It's not like one day I just saw and then went, hey, let's make sausage, and I knew how to do it. Someone showed me. Or maybe I'd read directions. There's a lot of stuff. Now, you guys live in a, you kids especially, you live in an easy day. You can just go to the computer and look stuff up. Here a while back, I was cleaning somebody's gun, and I took it apart, and then and one of the springs went, poof, and then all, and I thought, oh, Lord. Because I was doing them a favor by cleaning their gun, but now I have parts, and this was not my gun, and I have no idea where all these parts go back. So what did you do, Brother Block? I went to YouTube. That's what I did. And I looked it up, how to put the gun back together after you cleaned it. And the guy was very patient with me, thank goodness. And he talked me through it very slowly. And I had to rewind a couple times, but I finally got it back together. Now, I'm not going to shoot it because it's liable to blow up on my face. But I think I got it back together. But again, you live in a lucky day. You can look on YouTube and learn stuff. But again, back in our day, we had to learn this. The other day when I was teaching class, I didn't realize most boys and girls do not have any idea what the names of tools were. If you ask them for a pipe wrench, or you ask them for, they didn't even know what kind of screwdriver a regular screwdriver was, or a Phillips screwdriver. Yeah. Some of you ought to teach your kids some basic things in life, really. I sent them out to get me it. Now, by the way, these are called channel locks. This is called a pipe wrench. This girls, you ought to have, every one of you ought to have one of these in your purse, because it's, I mean, the brick, it doesn't have a handle on it. This has a handle on it, and if you felt this, it's heavier than the brick. So, I mean, trust me, this comes in handy to whack him upside the head when he starts putting his hands on you and you've told him not to. These are called vice grips. These are what my preacher's son, years ago, when I went to church, his nose was all skinned up. I mean, a terrible, terrible place on his nose, and I said, how did he do that? And they said he was playing in my tools, and he got the vice grips, and he locked them. And when you lock them, they lock shut. They locked on his nose, and then he panicked. Instead of pushing the button and opening them up, he pulled them off and just skinned all of his nose. I mean, he had no skin on his nose. He pulled all the skin off his nose with the vice grips, because when they lock, they lock. I mean, and that's what they're made to do, but he put them on his nose. Not good to put on your nose or your ear or, I mean, anywhere else, your lip. I mean, kids, you know, playing with stuff. I mean, that is not, vice grips are not a toy to play with, okay? I am a trained professional. Please do not do this, I mean, unless you've been trained. But Lewis, the guy across the street, I had lawn services, so our lawnmowers were breaking down. First time I put it in, it was like $65. I thought, man, I got to mow 2 or 3 yards just to pay for it. And so then I built a relationship with him. So I'd go in, and he'd say, when do you need that? I said, today. He'd go, well, what is it? And I said, I don't know. And he'd say, come back. And he would take my lawnmower back here, and he'd flip it over, and he always tried two or three things, and he would tell me what to do, and he'd fix it, and then I'd pay him, and then I'd leave. But I learned from him. So, I mean, I know how to put a rope on a lawnmower. I know how to put the primer bulb on a lawnmower. I know that they have an air filter. And that if you don't change the air filter, if the lawnmower cannot breathe, it cannot run. By the way, for those of you that don't know this also, most of them have a handle. You have to pull that handle down. Years ago, I had a lady, she said, one of my yard customers, she said, I got a brand new lawnmower. It started when I first got it, and I can't get to start again. I don't know what the problem is. And she says, you can have it. You can just mow the yard a time or two, and you can have it. So I walk over there, and I said, well, let me see what's wrong with it. I primed it. I pulled the handle back. I pulled the rope, and it started right back up. And she said, you have to pull that handle down? And I said, yes, ma'am, you do have to pull that handle down. She didn't even know. Apparently, she wasn't paying attention. And that handle, by the way, keeps you from cutting your toes and your fingers off, because when you let go of that handle, the motor stops and the blade stops spinning. Otherwise, you could get in a lot of trouble, and it's pretty hard for you to hold onto this and reach underneath it. It's a safety measure. They didn't used to have it. They have it now. But again, I don't know how many times someone's gave me a lawnmower because it didn't run, and I took it out, took the filter out. Sometimes you can just take that filter and knock all the junk out of it, put it right back in, and it started. Or you can spend $5 or $6 on a filter and start it. But it's usually something really, really easy. I didn't know anything about electronics. It was either Brother Peugeot taught me some stuff. Brother Elliot taught me some stuff as well. But used to, when something like this, when the end fell off and you had to have the plug in, it was like, whoop, I got to buy a new one. But you know what? You can buy these little things. It's an amazing thing. You can buy this little thing at the dollar store with all these little ends in it. Then they even have this little tool that you can put on there and crimp it. Now, if you try the pliers like I do, you have the tendency to cut through it, and then you do it again, and you cut through it, so the little crimping machine works pretty good. But you have all kinds of electronic stuff. I mean, like this. I taught the boys in school. This is something that Brother Elliot taught me. My dad didn't teach me. I learned from Brother Elliot. And again, when I say I learned from Brother Elliot, he was doing stuff, and I was just following around like a little puppy dog, and I was just watching him. He was a lot better than my dad. He usually at least explained stuff. When I asked my dad questions, my dad would say something like, you know, won't you just watch and shut up? I mean, he was usually pretty, he wasn't too big on conversation. But Brother Elliot didn't mind talking, so we'd fellowship. But Brother Elliot taught me how to do that. It's not hard to put an end on an extension cord. It's not hard to fix the waters. This was something that Mrs. Joplin taught me. Remember that Mrs. Joplin, the cake redhead? Because years ago, I wanted to learn how to do balloons so I could do them for my bus route and do them at Fiesta. And so I went to them, and every service, after the service, they taught me one thing every night. And so I'd go to them on a Wednesday night, and they'd teach me something, and I'd practice it. I mean, kind of like the kid learning to clap. I mean, I had a little trouble with it, but I finally figured it out. And then in the next service, she'd teach me another one. Until now, I can go down to Fiesta, and again, God has given me the gift of hot air, so I can even blow these up without the little pump, which comes in handy as well. But the truth is, I learned to tie balloons from Mrs. Joplin and Miss Craighead. And I think Kitty taught me a couple of them. That was complicated, and I forgot. She taught me how to make Shamu, but I made it a time or two now. And she taught me how to make a monkey in a tree, but I can't remember how to make the monkey in the tree. The little simple ones like the sword and the hat, I can make those. Yeah. But again, and this is a beehive. I just got one. I've been wanting one for years, but my daddy had bees. And I have a wife that has allergies, and I have a granddaughter with allergies. Besides, I've always wanted to have some bees at my property. And so I went out the other day and bought this. It's called a beehive. I'm going to open this up. We'll let the bees out, and we'll see. Is anyone in here allergic to bees? Oh, good. Then Brother Lou's not here. Just joking. There's no bees in my beehive. I am irresponsible, but not that irresponsible, okay? This is not what my dad used to wear. This is the little cheap one. This is the one that, and that goes up that way with your little dunce head. This keeps them from eating you up while you're messing with the bees. And so my dad used to have a cheap one. He just had a hat. And then he had a smoker. This is called a smoker. And if you put a little marijuana, I'm just joking, you don't really put marijuana in there. I guess you could. If it makes humans relax, maybe it'd make the bees relax too. And all the bees would be going, hey, buddy, how you doing? You want some honey? Come and give me some. So I don't know, but probably illegal, so don't try this either. But my dad, you take the smoker, you smoke those bees a little bit, and it makes them calm down. They're not near as, I mean, they don't want to kill you quite as bad. I mean, and you can take their honey, and they even say thank you. I got a beehive the other day, and it won't be long. I'm gonna take the bees. We have some bees out back. Some of you have seen them back there in the shed. I got this yesterday, so I can go back there, and someday when I'm not thinking too brightly, I'm gonna try to get all those bees out there and put them in the box and see if they stay at home. But the truth is, there's so many things. This is one of the greatest inventions man has ever made. Yeah. I learned this from my sons, or maybe Brother Brazil, I don't remember, because they're all electronic people. I used to have batteries all the time that would go dead in my, whether it's a TV remote or a flashlight or something else. And I learned this. Most of the time, they're all, if one's dead, they're all dead. But sometimes you get a bad battery. And I found that all you got to do is turn this on, put the red one on the positive and the black one on the negative, and it tells you if your batteries are no good. And sometimes I've only had to throw one battery away instead of three or four. And it saved me quite a bit, because batteries, I didn't realize you can spend a lot of money on AA batteries. Yeah. Especially with kids with toys and Brother Brock with his little flashlights. But the truth is, there are so many things that this was one of my most fun things, and this was something I learned from a guy. This is my first rattlesnake that I killed here in Texas. Killed him on my property. Now, the mice chewed. I put that years ago. I wound it up, and I put it in my bookcase, and there's something in the tanny solution that the mice like. So when I unrolled it later, they had almost chewed the tail through. But this rattlesnake was the one I killed on my property. You can see he's taller than Brother Block. He was not a midget, so I mean this was a man rattlesnake. But I wanted to be able to tan the rattlesnake hide, because my goal was, you know, make me some rattlesnake boots and maybe a hat band and a belt and, you know, all that cool stuff. You say, Brother Block, have you got there? No, I have not. But I went to him and he said, all you gotta do is this, and I realized, wow, that's easy. Now listen to me, there are lots of things you can learn. And the old saying is, I mean, you can't teach old dogs new tricks. That's not true. Old dogs can learn some new tricks. It takes a little longer to teach us. We need more Scooby snacks. I mean, we need a little bit more, you know, appreciation, pats on the head, but we can still learn stuff. So no matter who you are tonight, you're either going to be teaching or to be taught. By the way, even if you are a teacher, you still need to be able to be teachable. And again, have that teachable spirit. So in thinking of that, I want to give you three quick thoughts about to teach or to be taught. Number one, who are we teaching? Parents, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, Brother Nichols has said that verse is saying from the earliest ages. Now, again, what we mean is you've got to start young. I've often told people, sometimes I'll see a kid misbehaving, and they'll make some excuse for him, and I'll say, you may excuse them now, you're going to really hate them when they get about 15 or 16. When they're getting up in your face. By the way, for them to say no now, it may seem cute. It won't be cute when they're telling you at 15 or 16. Because no at that time will be them bumping up against your chest. And at that time, I mean, it's going to be, and by the way, very hard to fix it at 15 or 16. I know folks that try to fix it at 15 or 16 talk about tough love. It's a whole lot easier to have just a little bit of tough love when they're one or two or three than it is to have to fight it when they're 15 or 16. But again, parents are to teach our kids. By the way, I mentioned these things here. Parents teach kids lots of stuff. Sometimes even stuff we don't realize we're teaching. For instance, when you're thinking about that, my mom taught me to love unconditionally. My mom taught me to forgive. My mom taught me to cook. My dad taught me to work. My dad taught me to protect and to provide. My dad taught me to be active in the church. My dad wasn't on staff, but my dad was a bus driver. He was a children's church leader. He was an usher. He was a Sunday school teacher. We cleaned and mowed the churchyard, and he repaired all the buildings at the church. So my dad taught me that. My dad taught me to care for the elderly and for the kids. He always did stuff for little kids. And by the way, he took care of a lot of elderly folks and took us to a nursing home. My dad wasn't a minister. He wasn't called to preach, but he took us on a monthly basis to a nursing home, and he preached. Mom made cookies, and he preached. And then we went up and down the halls and visited. I went with Rachel the other day. She works in a nursing home. And it just breaks my heart to go to a nursing home, because then I just see these old folks and I realize they need us. And by the way, just a moment or two of our time goes so far, but we get so busy in our lives that we usually don't take that moment or two. But she had said, Dad, I want to show you where I work. So I went with her and we took the girls and we went from room to room and she introduced me to these folks. And by the way, for them to see those little kids was a big deal. For them to have someone visit with them for a minute or two was a big deal. And by the way, all of you and I can do that. We don't have to be, again, my dad was not a preacher. My daughter's not a preacher. You don't have to be, and by the way, you don't have to work in a nursing home. If you walk into a nursing home and you say, you know what, I'd just like to be able to sing, and I mean, or I made some cookies, can I pass them out to your folks? They'll let you know which ones can't get cookies, because some of them can't have them because of their diabetes and things like that. But the truth is, it will amaze you. And there are many people in nursing home that won't realize you're there. But there's a whole bunch that will. And there's a whole bunch that will remember you. Again, my dad taught me to care for the elderly. My dad taught me respect for authority. So there's so many things that my dad, and by the way, parents, we have to teach our kids that. It is not someone else's responsibility to teach our children that. It is our responsibility. So who are we to be teaching? We're to be teaching our kids. Preachers are to teach the flock. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, the Bible says, and the bishop then must be blameless, a husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. What it means is must be good at teaching. So again, the preachers are to teach the flock. By the way, that also means the flock ought to listen. The whole idea behind teaching is to learn. We teach so that we can learn. So if he's supposed to teach us, that means we're supposed to be learning from him. By the way, who else are we to be teaching? We're to be teaching the younger. Whether it's younger of age, physically, or younger of age spiritually. Notice younger of age physically, Titus chapter 2 in your Bibles. Titus chapter 2, notice verse 4. Titus chapter 2, verse 4 says, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now listen to me, ladies, if there's ever a time that all young ladies need to be taught to love their husbands, amen, taught to love their children, I mean, it is today. There are a lot of young ladies that, by the way, are full of themselves, don't want kids, don't want a house. I mean, don't look at any of those things as a big deal. Now, I have no problem with a woman having a career if first thing she takes care of is the home. I mean, because the Bible makes it your one and greatest, biggest challenge is to take care of your husband and your children. The Proverbs 31 lady, she worked outside the house, but the first thing she did was took care of everything at the house first. The Bible says her husband and her children rose up and called her blessed. Again, we're to teach those younger. The Bible mentions here that the older women are to teach the younger women. Years ago, we had this happen. Someone, their child was a little bit sick, and they called the ambulance. And I walked after, and I said, what happened? They said, well, my child fell, and I mean, he's kind of favoring his arm. I said, okay, and how long ago was it? And they said this. And I said, well, why'd you call the ambulance? Well, I mean, because I want them to check it out. I said, now, for those of us who grew up in my age, we didn't even know what an ambulance was. If we got sick, we got thrown in the car or truck, and mom and dad drove like nuts to get us to the hospital, okay? By the way, that's the one time mom and dad didn't mind, because they could drive as fast as they wanted and had an excuse. Flip on their flashers and go. But the truth is, I said, why are you doing that? And they said, no. Every kid cries for a couple minutes. If a kid's really hurt, trust me, they don't stop crying. A couple minutes later, the youngster was playing. I said, if he's really hurting, he wouldn't be playing. And then I said, do you realize how much a hospital costs? You go spend a few hours at the hospital, it's thousands of dollars. Now, you go to the doctor, it's going to be $100, maybe $200 at the doctor's office, but you go to the hospital, it's going to cost you $1,000 or $2,000. If you stay longer than that, it's going to cost you more than that. It depends on what tests they run. And then I found out they didn't have insurance, so I thought, oh, that's the reason you don't mind, because I'm paying for your visit to the hospital. If it was me paying for the hospital, listen to me, if you say, Brother Locke, we can wait till tomorrow, and it'll cost you $100, we can go down tonight, and it'll cost you $2,000. Give me some ice or heat pad, I mean, and a couple pain pills, and we'll go tomorrow. That's because there's no choice between $100 and $1,000. I don't have $1,000, so if I got an axe in my head, I'm going to go to the hospital, okay? But the fact is, short of an axe in my head, I'm probably going to wait and go to the doctor tomorrow. I mean, first finger I broke, the chiropractor said it. I mean, all he did was popped it back in place, took one of those ice cream sticks, put it on that side, ice cream stick on this side, and wrapped it up, and I was good. Works great. I mean, I haven't had any problem with the sins. I mean, just joking, it works fine. So we're supposed to teach those that are younger physically. We're also supposed to teach those younger spiritually. Notice in your Bibles in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, notice verse 29. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children for lands or for my sake and the gospels, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time house and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. Now, if we physically are supposed to teach our children things, doesn't that, if we are spiritual fathers to somebody, and there are some of us here that have children in your class, you know, who they look up to you as their father, they look up to you as a mother. They look up to you as their grandma. They look up to you as their brother or their sister. So we have a responsibility to teach those who are younger than us spiritually. There are people the other day, I had a young lady that came to church, and after she came to church, I pulled her aside and said, let me show you the verse. I said, you probably realize that all girls wear dresses down to the knees all the time. And I said, how long have you been saved? And she'd been saved 3 or 4 months. She has a great attitude, great spirit. And I said, let me show you a verse. I said, I had to show this to my wife, again, at that time my girlfriend, because the first time my girlfriend came to church, at that time she was not my girlfriend, but the first time Miss Block came to church, she came to church in a miniskirt, because they told her to wear a dress, and that was the dress she had. So she wore a miniskirt to church. And later on, when she found out she was supposed to dress modestly and someone showed her what modesty was, then, by the way, her dress standards changed and she doesn't have any of those little short skirts anymore. All the skirts she has goes down past the knees and the slits go down past the knees because all the stuff from the knee to the hip, that's the thigh and that's the part that the lady's not supposed to uncover. But I showed this young lady the verse and I said, I just want to show this verse because you probably haven't been shown this and taught this. Now listen to me, I did that because she's like a daughter to me. And if my daughter said, how come the church has this rule? I'd want to explain it to her so she'd understand. So again, whether it's someone of younger physical age or someone of younger spiritual age, rather than look down on them, rather than criticize them, instruct them, teach them, take them under your wing. The world's big on having all these, adopt a big brother or a big sister. A big brother someone or a big sister someone. Or be a, what is it, CASA? What is that group that's child advocate something? CASA? I saw it advertised the other day, and I thought, and by the way, when Suzanne had, when they was dealing with the kids, the CASA worker was a big help, huh? And I thought, you know what, we could, I don't want us to take on people out there, but we have some church kids, we have some bus kids, we have some children here that we could, we could be CASA to. We could be the child advocate, we could stand in their stead, and we could help them, we could be there for them when they need us. We could be a big brother or a big sister to them. Teach them some things. By the way, you'll find this, you'll be a big blessing to them. Mark it down and count this as true. They'll be a big blessing to you too. You'll probably get a bigger blessing from them than they'll get from you. Again, who are we teaching? What are we teaching? We always have a saying, our walk talks and our talk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. You know what we're teaching? We're teaching our kids how important God is. We're teaching them how important His Word is. We're teaching them how important His house is. We're teaching him how important his work is based on what we put before those things. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. It is easy to have other gods before him. He knew that. That's why he made, he didn't just make a rule, just be making the rule. He made the rule because, he knew we'd need it. And it's so important that we, again, my dad, again, if relatives showed up Sunday, an hour before church, I've heard him say many times, you guys, we're going to go to church this Sunday night. You got two choices. You can go with us. Well, you can stay here and we'll be back in a couple hours. And my dad, and we all loaded up and left his relatives, his brothers and sisters, my wife's brother, and my mom's brothers and sisters are at the house if they want to stay. Or they can say, well, no, we'll go ahead and leave and we'll just visit some other time. They had two choices, go with us or stay here and we'll be back. But we didn't miss church for them. Say, what if it had been months or years since you seen them? It didn't matter. As much as we loved them, as much as we missed them, guess what? God was more important than them. Again, my dad taught me that. It was an important lesson. And by the way, that's an important thing we're teaching. What are we teaching? How important is God? How important is His Word? How important is His house? How important is His work? Another thing we're teaching is how important are the men of God? Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. I'm not going quickly, so you have to pay attention quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the Word and doctrine. Now, listen to me. The Bible, you're going to find the word double honor. You know how many times it's used? Right there. It says, if you have a preacher that does his job and preaches to you the gospel, studies and teaches you the doctrines of the Word of God, he is worth... Now, again, some of you have had to work a job and you got time and a half or double time. But you know what you got that for? You got that for the hours after 40 hours. What Jesus is saying here is, you know what? His normal hours are worth double time. His first 40 hours is worth double time because he's doing something that's so important. Now, again, that's an important lesson to learn. And by the way, do we criticize them? Do we gossip about them? My dad taught me this lesson. Notice in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16 verse 22 says this, saying, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. My dad used to always say, don't ever raise your hand. Don't ever raise your voice. Don't ever take an opinion against your pastor. Amen. He said, your pastor answers to God, does not answer to you. And by the way, that is still true. I've told you before, someone called the church years ago and they said, I wasn't too happy with what I heard on Sunday. So they said, I need to talk to somebody. You have a board over there? And I said, yes, we do. We have a couple of deacons. And they said, are they over the pastor? I said, no, they are not. They're assistants and help to the pastor. And they said, well, I want to talk to his boss. I said, not a problem. All you got to do is just pray. Amen. And they got quiet for a minute and they said, what do you mean? I said, our pastor answers to God, so all you got to do is you can talk to his boss. His boss is God. And that is who Brother Nichols' boss is. His boss is God. And again, it's important that we hold high the men of God. Notice another thing. What do we teach? What do we teach when it comes to the importance of money, possessions, positions? When it comes to money, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 tells us the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is a necessity, but it's not something we should fall in love with. Young people have a problem. Now, you would think that people that have, the truth is, sometimes a person, you think that a person that has a lot of money would be the one that's in love with money. Sometimes it's not a person with a lot of money that's in love with money. Sometimes it's a person who has very little money that falls in love with money. And they think, because they've come to the false conclusion that if I just had some more, I'd be happy. So they just want to get some more. And by the way, when they get some and they're not happy, they was under the conclusion that if I just had more money, I'd be happy. So they think, I just apparently don't have enough. Because, I mean, when I was making just a few bucks, I wasn't happy. So now I'm making better money. I'm still not happy. So maybe I need more money to make me happy. And by the way, they can keep going. And no matter how much money they have, money won't bring happiness because it never has and never will. But again, how important is money? How important are possessions? Luke chapter 18. The rich young ruler, the Bible says that he was very sad because he had much. He had great possessions. But again, he had put that before the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17, talks about, again, I said, what do we teach when it comes to position? Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17, Samuel is talking to a young king. And he tells that young king this statement. When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? Now, what implied was you're not little in your own sight anymore. My dad used to say this, when people pat you on the back, when people congratulate you, when people commend you, let it go in one ear and out the other. If you dwell on people's praise of you, you know what it'll make you feel? It'll make you feel self-importance. Always give glory to God. Give glory, I mean, say, you know what? Years ago, Brother Taylor thanked me for something, and you can ask him today. What I told him was, you don't need to thank me. Who did I tell you to go thank, Brother Taylor? Your memory's a bad man. I told him, I said, go thank my mom and dad. Because I said, my mom and dad taught me that. Because he thanked me for something. I said, don't thank me. My mom and dad taught me that. Go thank my mom and dad. People have thanked me before about teaching our kids to write thank you notes. Don't thank me. Thank my youth director, Brother Corey. Because Brother Corey was the one that originally started with thank you notes. And then when I became youth director, I did thank you notes. And by the way, Liberty Baptist Church is known. I mean, all the places we go, we're known for the thank you notes. But again, wasn't my idea. It came from Brother Corey. My youth director taught me that. So again, what are we teaching when it comes to God, His Word, His house, His work? What are we teaching when it comes to the importance of the men of God? What are we teaching when it comes to money, possessions, or position? What are we teaching when it comes to husband-wife relationships? Whether you know it or not, Mom and Dad, your kids are watching. They know whether Mom's submissive or not. They know whether Dad loves Mom or not. And by the way, those two commands are the two commands that God gives to husbands and wives. By the way, they really do. They actually cover everything. If a husband actually loved his wife like he should, all the problems that he had would be taken care of in the fact that he loves his wife like he should. If the wife really does submit herself to her husband, most of the problems that she would have would be taken care of as well. And by the way, when we teach that by action, it's not something we just sit down. I mean, we can sit down and talk with them, but they see it in our lives more than they hear it in our words. What are we teaching them when it comes to work? Genesis chapter 3, verse 19 says that we're supposed to work by the sweat of our brow. You know, there are some people that never sweat. You know why they never sweat? Because they never work. It's nice to have someone, I mean, now, there are some people like me, I just sweat. I don't have to work. I mean, I can walk from here to the back door and I can be sweating. So, I mean, that's not always true. I'm not always working when I'm sweating. Now, it makes me look like I'm working. So it's like, oh, Brother Brock, I mean, you need to take a break. Okay, I didn't really do anything. I just walked from the platform to the back door, but okay, I'll take a break. I mean, and thank you, but I can sweat without doing much today. But again, to work. Laziness kills and brings pain. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 19 makes this statement. Proverbs 15, verse 19 says, the way of the slothful man is as a hedge of thorns. You know what a hedge of thorns are? I mean, they hurt. And the way of the slothful man, you know what it is? It's a hedge of thorns. Because he's lazy, guess what? His life's going to be painful. He's going to lose the car, going to lose the house, not going to be able to pay the bills. It's going to be painful. And by the way, it's not just painful for you, dad or husband or teenage son. It's painful for your family. It's painful for your children. It's painful for your wife. So again, I tell girls all the time, one of the things you look for, don't worry about how handsome he is. Find out if he knows how to work. Find out how he treats his mama. Find out what his attitude is toward God. Now, I wish he looked like $1 million. But the truth is, that $1 million, I mean, if he's not providing love for you and he's not providing food for you and you don't have a roof over your head and he doesn't treat you right, you're not going to care how pretty he is. Yes, he is. Now, again, God encourages us to work. In Romans chapter 12, notice Romans chapter 12, verse 11. He tells us not to be slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, a lot of slothful in business. What he says is, I don't want you to be lazy when it comes to your business. I want you to work. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible said, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now, there was a time in America that a person was too proud to take a handout, so they wanted to do something for that handout. That's why they made jobs. That's why for a long time people would build bridges and did stuff, because those men did not want to take money and did not want food without doing something for it. So they actually worked for the government. The government made jobs and they worked for something, and then they got the money. I mean, then they got paid, because they didn't mind taking money if they got paid for it. Now, we have to be careful. Sometimes we can let our pride get in the way. There are times that people want to be a blessing to us. And this was something I had to learn, Brother Nicholas. I mean, I went to him one day and I said, these people want to do this for me, but I feel real bad. I don't want to just take it from them. And he said, you're deriving them of a blessing. They're trying to be a blessing to you. Yeah. I said, so what should I do? He said, take it. And I said, but preacher, he said, you work hard. It's not like they think you don't work hard. So he said, I had to learn, because I had a hard time taking stuff. I mean, my pride would get in the way. I had a hard time letting people be a blessing to me. And by the way, then I realized, you know what, it's also that I learned from them, and I learned that doing stuff for others was a blessing to me. That's one of the reasons the Bible teaches, if you work hard, you'll have enough for yourself, and then you can do stuff for others. And I can tell you, that is a big blessing when you can do stuff for others. But again, teach them to work. Then the third thing, and I'll be done, who is teaching us? In Mark chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible tells us that Jesus taught many things in parables and said unto them in his doctrine. Now, by the way, he taught a lot of parables, and those parables were earthly stories with heavenly meanings. He taught us practical stuff. He put it on our level so we could get it. He put it down on the bottom shelf, so, I mean, we didn't have to be rocket scientists to be able to understand the truth. That's why he talked about sporting events or farming events or stuff with, I mean, stuff out in the yard. But again, he taught us spiritual truths with earthly stories. So again, who's teaching us? We should learn from the Word of God. I mean, by the way, those parables still good today. Those stories he taught, I mean, in those parables to his disciples and to the people, we still need those. I mean, those are not out of date. Now, truthful, some of them are not as relevant to us in the sense that it's easy for us to understand, because there's not as many farmers today, and there's not as many sporting events. I mean, so some of the stories, I mean, some of those things that they picked up on it readily, we may not pick up on this readily, because, again, you'd have to be a farmer to understand some of those things with the wheat and the tares and the stony ground and all that stuff. But the truth is, Jesus taught many lessons. Who else teaches us? Nature teaches us stuff. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, doth not even nature itself teach you if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him. Now, I realize it looks really pretty. I mean, for you to be able to whip those locks around. But you know what? When you get out and you start working, you guess what the hair does? It gets in your eyes. And it gets all sweaty. And by the way, if you was having a battle, you wouldn't be able to fight. You wouldn't even, I mean, because the hair keeps getting in your eyes. It'd be hard to battle. The truth is, what he's saying is, you know what? Long hair, I mean, you just get out and do stuff, guys, you're going to find out long hair is an inconvenience. I remember at work years ago, I got hired at a still, the place where I learned to weld, and they told me, tuck your shirt tail in. Now, I usually kept my shirt tail tucked anyway, and I said, why? Because I just was curious, and they said, because the last guy that didn't tuck his shirt tail in, he kept getting warned about his shirt tail, it killed him. And I went, it killed him? Now, you have to understand, we have sheets of metal like sheets of plywood. Some of this stuff is a quarter inch thick. Some of this stuff is big. So we have machines that can cut that. We have machines that can drill through this. And he had been told on this big drill press, that drills holes in this thick metal, he had been told to keep his shirt tail tucked in, but he thought, why should people be bossing me around? Till the day that his shirt tail got picked up by that drill, and that drill pulled that shirt, and it started going around and around and kept getting it tighter and tighter till he was trying to get it unbuttoned, get it off, and couldn't. It picked him up and bodily swung him around and beat his brains out against the wall of the building. Took my shirt tail in, I can tell you, that's what I did. I may not have very many brains, but I did not want them out on the walls of the building. What few I had, I want them in my head. But again, understand, I mean, nature teaches. I mean, there's just some things that, I mean, you get out there, I mean, that's like I'll tell the kids sometimes, either move or get out of my way. Yeah. By the way, nature teaches you that. You piddle around out there, you'll get run over. Stuff will tromp all over you. They'll run right up your backside. But again, there's some things that nature teaches us. By the way, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, something else that nature teaches us. He says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. What are we supposed to learn from the ant? That having no guide or overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. I said this is called the brood box. The reason it's called the brood box is several things happens inside of here. Inside here are these frames. These frames, now today they've made it so much easier. This is plastic. It used to be, we put a little bit of starter comb, which was real wax, and then they would build the rest of it, and we would cut that out and then put some new starter comb. Nowadays, they just build on both sides of it, and when you rob them, you just take a little tool and you just scrape it right down, and then you put the plastic back in there, and it's ready to go again. So they made it much simpler. You just don't want to eat that. You could eat the old comb. You don't want to eat this comb. But in the brood box down here, the queen lays her. Now, the bees put honey in there, and she lays eggs in there. I mean, this is the nursery. Then we put this on top, and we put other stuff up here, other boxes, but it's not the brood box. The brood box is where Mama lives, the queen lives. She's the life of the hive. Without her, I mean, how many of you ever seen a swarm of bees? You know why that swarm of bees was? Because that hive got two queens. And like two bulls bumping heads, one of them ended up getting kicked out. So one of them left, and with her, left part of the hive, maybe the big part of the hive, maybe the little part of the hive, but Mama and her group left the other queen and the other bees behind. But two queens won't stay in the same hive. This is to keep the queen from going up here and laying eggs up here, because when we was going to rob the honey, you don't want a baby bee you don't want a baby bee in your honey. So she's much bigger. Now they're skinny enough, they can all get through here and they can go up in the other hive. But Mama's kind of big. She's about twice the size of the regular bee. She can't get through there. We call this the queen keeper. So she stays down here and lays the eggs and lives down here, and then we put the other boxes up here, and that's the honey that we rob. We also don't rob this because they fill this up for a reason. Wintertime's going to come. There's no flowers blooming in the wintertime. There's no trees putting out blossoms. If they didn't have honey, they'd all die. If they all die this year, then we don't have any bees to make honey the next year. So we don't rob the brood box because all this honey that they build up in here, that's theirs. I mean, that's like canning vegetables and putting them away for the wintertime, putting stuff in the freezer. So we don't rob this. This all stays for them. And we rob the stuff up here. But again, understand, he said, I want you to go to the ants, because they've learned that. You know what they do? They not only provide stuff to eat today, but they're putting some aside. They're saving some for retirement. They're putting some aside for wintertime when you don't have any work. Because back then, by the way, there are a lot of jobs that in the wintertime you couldn't do stuff when it's raining and it's cold. There's some jobs you couldn't do outside. Now, those of us that work inside, we can work, 24/7, 365 days a year. But the folks that work outside, ask Brother Perry. There's sometimes Brother Perry's not working today. Why aren't they working? Because it's raining. Pretty hard to work in the rain. Sometimes it's cold, and sometimes you can't do stuff. You can't paint when it's really cold. There's some things you can't do. But again, he said, go. So there's some things we can learn from nature. Who else is teaching us? By the way, children can teach us. The Bible tells us, Mark chapter 10, verse 15, Luke 18, 17, that we got to become like a child when it comes to salvation. By the way, they can teach us a lot of other stuff as well. I think some of us ought to go to kids and let them teach us how to pray. You ever heard a kid pray? Kids can teach it. By the way, they're not praying these big fancy prayers. Oh, Father, we thank you. I mean, they're not praying those prayers. They're just talking to God. Kids can teach us. Wise men and women can teach us. And by the way, we can ask God. Psalms 25, verse 4, and I'll be done. Psalms 25:4 makes this statement, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Sometimes we just have to go to God and we have to ask God, God, can you show me? God, can you teach me? And by the way, he's more than willing to do so. He is, by the way, your heavenly Father. And he does want you and I to turn out right. So the truth is, if you ask him, now sometimes when you asking him, he might point you to somebody else. There have been times someone came to me for counsel and I told them to go to talk to someone else because they knew more about that than I did. But again, sometimes he'll just show you in the Word of God. Many times he'll impress upon your heart that you need to talk to somebody else. But again, ask God. First off, I said, who are you teaching? Second, I said, what are you teaching? And the third thing is, who's teaching you? Now again, we are never too old to be taught. I appreciate so much my granddaughters. Again, for those of you who had great grandkids around a lot, I haven't had a lot of grandkids around. I had 8 grandkids. Thane was the only one in town till Rachel and the 2 little ones came in. But I mean, since they moved into town, I mean, they are such a blessing. Now, they're a pain, but they're a big blessing too. And they are so truthful. I mean, today I got that fat thing again today. I mean, for some reason they're obsessed with my belly. I don't know why it is, but they're obsessed with my belly. And they keep asking me how it got so big and why my belly's so big. And we've been having these conversations quite a bit. And what am I going to do about my big belly? And yeah. So, I mean, the other day we was in the store, and little Haley, I saw it coming, and I hollered and tried to get her to stop. There's this sweet little lady in front of us with these really multicolored pants right in front of us, and Haiti, she and I saw her finger, and I went, no, Eddie, and the woman turned around, and I went, it wasn't me, that's what I said, because when she turned around, she looked like, you know, I mean, would you touch me? I said, it was her, I mean, Haley did it. I hope she believed me, because I did not want to get smacked by a lady, but I saw Haley, because Haley just wanted to reach out and touch it. She wanted to see what that material felt like, and she reached up and touched that lady's rear, and then she immediately turned around and looked like, you know, help, I mean, yeah, I thought I was in trouble. But again, understand, we are to be teaching, we also are to be taught. Don't ever get too proud, mom or dad. Don't ever get too proud, Sunday school teacher, to learn a lesson from the kids. Husbands, don't be too proud to learn from your wife. That's why you have a help meet. By the way, if you don't let the help meet help, really not much, why'd you even get married? The help meet's to help. The help meet is to complete you. What, you know what? When we think about that, to complete us, what does that imply? Without her, I am what? Incomplete. So I am not complete unless I have her. So it doesn't do us any good to get married if we're not going to reap the benefits of having the completer or the helpmeet. Wives, listen to your husbands. You say, well, this is an emotional thing. Sometimes husbands, I mean, we ain't always on point when it comes to emotional stuff, but sometimes, I mean, we can be. Listen to your kids. Listen to your preacher and your teacher. And again, understand, we all are teachers. We also should be students as well. Father, thank you for tonight. Lord, if there's one here tonight that's not saved, I didn't preach about salvation, but Lord, if there's one here tonight that's not saved, help them, Lord, to realize now the importance of salvation and how, Lord, the thing they need to learn tonight is how much you loved them and the fact that you loved them so much and gave yourself on the cross to die for them, Lord, that they ought to receive you tonight. Then for those of us that are saved, I pray, Lord,